What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the show today. Today we have on Phil K from the Discord server. Phil is a very active veteran community advisor and proposal mentor. In today's show, we talk about ways regular people can get involved with Cardano. We talk about Project Catalyst and how it works. And we also talk about some of the hidden opportunities for ADA. We both hope you'll enjoy the show and join us in building the world you want to see. All right, let's go. Hello, Phil. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Hey, I know you're in St. Petersburg, Russia. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes, I'm here. We've just having a beautiful spring day. We had a bit of snow yesterday. I've been here for about 6 months, I think. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovely. Yeah, it's nice having a bit of snow. Coming from Australia, we don't get, well, we get the odd splatch of snow, but yeah, it's very interesting to have this frozen weather in the north.
Well, that's unique too, because when people recommended that I should come and try to find you and have you on the podcast as a community advisor and proposal mentor, they let me know your time zone difference and how far away you were. So I thought I was going to be speaking to a very Eastern European person. You are Australian. So why don't you give people a short story on how that happens, how an Australian person ends up living in Russia?
Well, there's not really a short story there, but on a very shortened version, my wife is from St. Petersburg, and we've been living in Australia for about 5 years, and then she wanted to come home and spend time back in Russia. So, of course, we've packed up and moved over here again. I've lived here before.
So you've been
in 2013. Yeah, I was here for 2 years. So I kind of know what's going on. I know the lay of the land. My Russian's terrible, but I joke that it's probably better than yours.
Yeah, well, no, it certainly would be. I know. I don't even know any swear words, I don't think, in Russian. I got to ask, what do you do there to make a living?
I teach a bit of English.
You don't have to be specific. Yeah, okay.
No, I teach a bit of English. I run conversational English courses. It's one of the major problems here in Russia that a lot of people actually have quite good English. They learn English at school, university. They have good grammar, good reading, but they're very unconfident to speak. I help people open that up. Mostly at the moment, I'm teaching younger students of 12-year-olds and that sort of age group that have lived overseas and their parents want them to just keep practicing their English. So that's kind of a way I keep myself busy. Other than that, I'm getting into the crypto space as an investor and into Cardano and Project Catalyst as a active community member and proposer. And I'm always just out looking for opportunities and interesting things to be involved with. I have a passion for artists, which is St. Petersburg is a very artist orientated city. But they struggle to fund themselves. So I kind of have a business background as well. So a lot of our friends are artists. So I try to mentor them in that space to try and work out how they can increase their businesses and sales and that sort of stuff. And I'm also renovating our old apartment that hasn't been renovated for quite some time. So that's what's keeping me busy while I'm here at the moment. And we'll see how things pan out over the rest of this year and into next year to see where I head with all that I'm working on.
Well, one thing that's come up in all the interviews I've done so far is, we are still in the age of the virus, and I don't know anything about how Russia is handling. How does that affect your day-to-day? You're working mostly remotely. Are they as strict with lockdowns as some of the Western places? Like, I know specifically us right now, we're in another mandated lockdown period or of some form of lockdown here in Alberta.
I think, from my understanding, they've kind of gone the laissez-faire methodology. I do remember early on when it first started, I was watching some videos of people recording police cars driving around outside in the streets, you know, announcing that you need to stay off the streets and things. That was really early last year. But since I've arrived, more or less, it's if you enter public spaces or go onto public transport, you're asked to wear a mask. It's not generally enforced, but most people are kind of doing that. But if you're walking along the street by yourself, or in groups, then generally the mask thing isn't a thing. So I think they've kind of gone down the Swedish route where it's kind of just let it lay where it is and
so
see
shops
what
are basically open and businesses are open and everyone's kind of just trying their best to go about their regular day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely had an economic effect. There's a lot of places for rent around the place, a lot of shops closed. But generally the supermarkets and the restaurants are open doing business and people are, I'm just watching out the side of my street, out my window, at the moment. And there's just people roaming around, no masks, just going about their business.
Cool. So not super oppressive in the very least.
Yeah, absolutely not. Something the exact opposite.
Yeah, certainly.
When I was in Australia, I was in a very, I'm from Adelaide, which is a small, about 1.2 million people, city
yeah, I've heard of it.
In Australia. You've never heard of it?
You have? I have heard of it, yeah.
Ah, yes. It's kind of, I mean, it's a capital city, but it's just a smaller capital city. And we never had a major outbreak. There was a few sort of, you know, semi-lockdowns with minimal people allowed in supermarkets and that sort of thing, but we never really got affected in my city. I know they had big problems in the bigger cities, mainly Melbourne. There was major lockdowns in Melbourne while I was there and continue to be so. So it's an interesting thing to watch, how different places around the world are handling it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I try not to get political about it. It's just a matter of, this is the environment we're in. And how do we adapt, right? How are we coping with it? And how can we still, try to have some sort of prosperity? You know what I mean? Without, especially, absolutely. You know, like you said, you're working with artists and stuff like that. I guess a lot of art can be done, in terms of digitally, or, you know, online instead of, you know, physical galleries and that stuff, that kind of thing. You know, especially with Instagram and those type of spaces, although mostly for influencers, it seems like, in brands, you know, if you can develop a following on Instagram as an artist, people will seek you out and want your stuff.
Yeah.
Typical branding.
It is hard, I think, here. I know people who have like 40,000 followers, but they're still kind of, well, at least they consider them a struggling artist, themselves a struggling artist. It could just be the fact that incomes are generally lower, so any art you're selling is going to be at a lower rate as well. I'm not really quite sure how that pans out. But, yeah, there's definitely the social network space for artists is a good one if they can tap into it and get sales from it.
So how did you, what's your general story on how you got into crypto? How long has it been and how did you end up at Cardano and being as involved as you are with Project Catalyst?
Yeah. Interesting question. Basically I'm a freelancer in general. I do some design work and I also was working in events and doing that sort of stuff while I was in Australia. And the last event I was working for in Australia was the Adelaide Fringe, which is similar to the Edinburgh Fringe. quite a big international event, and literally it was closing up the weekend that we went into kind of a lockdown state at the start of the at the start of that the pandemic at the start there. So I took the opportunity to sit it out. The government started to give us some funds, so I just sat out and started to explore cryptocurrencies because, like everyone, I'd kind of been hearing about them for 10 years now, and they kind of seem to be a thing now. So I started to just watch videos and read up and understand what Bitcoin was, purchased a few Bitcoin, not actual Bitcoins, just some Satoshi. And then in my exploration, I came across Cardano, and I just went, wow, there's something else going on here that's a bit different from the rest of the crypto space. Like really well thought out, considered, scientific paper based. And just the slow route is the fast route, as Charles says. And it tweaked something in me, and I bought some ADA and started tracking its price, and then started to hear about governance models, and went along to the Cardano conference last year, the online one that they had, and watched a few of those things and started to get interested. And then heard about the opening of Project Catalyst, but it was all a bit too complicated at the time. I think I was moving countries sort of thing around October last year when it was all sort of happening. And there was a lot of test net stuff going on, test wallets, test things. And I was like, it's too much for me. And then Fund 3 was the one that kind of came along. I watched a town hall and went, it seems to be at the stage that I could start wrapping my head around it with the tools that I've already got installed rather than exploring a whole new place. And that sort of opened the door into Project Catalyst. Started participating in the Telegram channel and kept sort of just butting my head up against the wall saying this is no good for discussing things. And then it came out that there was a Discord server that wasn't really being utilized that much for community discussion. And I started to work myself into that space and encourage other people to join for discussions that were happening all over the place in Telegram. And I guess that put me in a position to start engaging with the community in a way that I enjoyed and other people seem to enjoy. So
kept
doing that.
The Discord is my preferred of the two. It's just you can organize it better and sort of file away conversations along the side with, you know, different channels or whatever, different rooms. It just makes more sense to have it organized that way. Although filtering through all those rooms nowadays can be a little bit of a thing. You know, you got 60 for Fund 3 and 60 for Fund 4 and 60 for Fund 5 kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
And then any individual ones, but they're still there, and you can just sort of keep track of the few that you're involved with or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're, I know you're a community advisor. Sorry, I cut you off there. I wanted to make sure I know your roles. You're a community advisor. I think you're an administrator in the Discord.
Yes, yes. I got given the administrator role a couple of weeks ago.
And then
administrators stepped out.
Uh-huh. You're also a proposal mentor?
Yes.
If I remember.
Yeah. I like to think of myself as no particular role. I was actually only a community advisor in Fund 3. And because of the perceived or actual conflicts of interest between proposers and community advisors, I was sitting out for Fund 4 because I had a number of proposals in place, which meant that I couldn't be a CA or a veteran CA. But I think they've formalized that a bit more this time. So if you're participating in a non-funding round or a distributed decision-making proposal, which are basically proposals designed to put community-related issues in rather than DApps or any of the other sort of building things for an external audience. The distributed decision-making category is an internal looking facing thing. So they've decided if you propose in that, that you can still CA in the open ones that are outward looking, which is quite a good situation, I think. So I'm still going to do some proposals in that space for community development. Cause that's kind of just the space that's really interesting me at the moment. And then hopefully I'll be a community advisor across the other places. And in regards to being a proposal mentor, I think I just like to help people with what I can see and what I can bring to their proposal. So I just tap into anything that comes up of interest, or if people ask, I'm happy to just give it a look over and input into what I see. Of course, it's my opinion and the way I look at the world, but people seem to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we could segue then into why don't we segue into the proposals you have? This is for Fund 4, and I believe voting for Fund 4 opens in a couple weeks as of this recording. Maybe
I think
less than 2 weeks.
Wednesday 14th next week is when the registration opens for voting.
Yeah.
And then I think voting starts a week after that,
probably.
So 21st. So yeah, it's pretty soon.
And you've got, is it two proposals that I'm aware of for Fund 4?
Yes, I believe so. I have an infographic proposal where I've proposed to create 4 infographics that help communicate certain issues visually for the community. That's kind of like a test proposal, as well as there was a need generated out of the Fund 3 retrospective. After each fund, anyone who's interested, generally it's active CAs, but it's open to everyone, can get together and discuss over the 3 weekends after the end of a fund, kind of what worked, what didn't work, what were the pain points, what do we want to focus on. They're fairly like undirected. It's kind of directed by the group that joins and what wants to be discussed in those spaces. But out of that last time came this concept of the community landing page, which I took up the banner and shook it about and said, who wants to come and help me with this? And we've actually got an active site up, very quickly, with generally interesting information for the community. And that's in active development, ongoing active development. And it has a proposal in Fund 4. Fund 4.
So that's a separate proposal?
Yeah, that kind of related.
Infographics. Okay.
I can see the infographics being used on the website, but they're not concurrently at the moment, but definitely could be used and probably will be used. And then in Fund 5, I also plan to expand those proposals, so maybe look for a bigger funding pot for the infographics if people can see value in that, and continue funding for the community landing page to make development in that more solid, I think. Because the idea of that is that the community can present issues on the landing page. So if there's content missing or that people want to see on there, or if there's a feature that people want to see, or if there's an error that they see, they can point it out. And then we're running a bounty system over the top of that that lets people who fix those problems or solve those issues or address them pick up a bounty. It's an experiment at the moment. It's kind of a hard system, very manual to manage, but if it's successful, we can look at automating it, putting in smart contracts maybe, or I met someone who was building a feature in GitHub to help with that sort of thing. So plenty of interesting things being developed in this space.
Yeah, and I suppose as a VCA or a CA, you're kind of right on the bleeding edge, having always watching those since you're going over proposals all the time. And yeah. I know you're active, right? So you get to the sort of bleeding edge view of what's going on in the community, or what is proposed to be going on in the community. I think it's interesting to maybe dive into your proposals just a little bit deeper. The infographics, you said there, you wanted four of them?
At this point, it's four, just for the sake of putting a number that was quite easily executable in that funding round. It was my first proposal, so it was kind of like a test the waters, put my toe in, and kind of hope that the amount would be so irrelevant and the benefit so large that it would just be funded. That was kind of my thinking. I've got a great
design
friend.
What are you trying to address? Like, what are you, in CA language, what is your problem statement, or what problem are you trying to solve?
I have to crack it open. Each just of the four. Give me a second while I kind of, this, as I said, it was my first idea. So I kind of didn't necessarily.
No, I've done that too. I submitted a proposal and was just kind of writing it on the fly. Yes. Later on, I was like, how do I withdraw this?
It's been a lot of time, even though it's probably only 8 weeks ago that I put it in. It feels like an eternity with what's been happening. I think the 6 week speed of this thing just has this velocity that makes it quite hard to follow, but also very interesting. So what I said, that my problem statement was information about Project Catalyst is difficult to digest for many. That was the problem statement. And then the solution was create a series of infographics that visually describe Project Catalyst.
So you're thinking four of them. What would you break them down as? A timeline.
Did you have that filled in yet? Yeah. I had those in the proposal as well. And these were just things that came from my very early look at what was needed at the time. So that was, what is the decision-making process? So a visual of that, a visual of the role of the community advisor, how Project Catalyst makes impact, and the decentralized governance and decision-making process. So they were the four infographics. Out of this, I also developed a website, teleolog.art. That's teleolog.art. And this was an experiment into crowdfunding or co-funding an infographic. It hasn't been that successful, partly because of the difficulty in people finding it, and also the website maybe doesn't quite communicate exactly what I need it to communicate for anyone going there to understand what I'm trying to achieve with it. But it was kind of just a precursor exploration of whether people would be willing to part with their ADA to support the community. And this has now developed into a proposal for Fund 5 called adafund.org. So this is a Fund 5 proposal, which is an exploration of a sub-treasury model looking at co-funding small experiments under $1,000, where people who have an idea can present it to the to this sub-treasury system, and people will vote by co-funding the process. So if, let's say, I set a $1,000 limit to make an infographic series, let's say, I need to raise $500 worth of ADA to unlock some treasury funds that this sub fund would be holding. And if I hit my target, then it pays out the treasury funds to fulfill that small project. Because it's quite a long process. So my infographics is actually going to take at least 12 weeks before it gets funded. Whereas really, if the system like this exists, it could be funded in, you know, a week if I can get enough interest in it, and then it can be released and created, and the speed of the current model is not fast enough to experiment with really quick experiments. So the idea is that this would look at risky and quick wins or quick fails, low value targets of probably less than $1,000 initially. And look, it's an experiment, so we'll see if the community supports it, and then if we can actually build it and create something of value in that space.
So theoretically then, voting for with this Fund 5-1, what'd you call it? Mm-hmm. AdaFund.org.
Yep.
If someone like myself was cruising through this website, I looked and I said, you know what, this one's good. I could vote for that one with my ADA. Do you just vote a single ADA? Do you say, I'll pledge 20, I'll pledge 500? Maybe I'm a whale, right?
It'll be co-matched by this sub-treasury. So, for instance, let's say you're doing this podcast and you wanted to buy a sound card, for instance, and you said, sound card costs $400. I've already got this podcast up. I don't think it's worth putting a whole proposal to buy a sound card. Here's my proposal. If I can raise $200 worth of ADA, then this side treasury would also give you $200 of ADA.
Interesting. And then that side treasury is funded by Project Catalyst.
That's right.
As you request funds for that to be fulfilled. So at this first fund, you could say, we're asking for 20 grand. And then, for fund five, you'd be like, well, we're down to 5 grand. We funded a bunch of stuff. Can we have another 20 or something like that?
Exactly. Yep.
That does make a lot of sense because little things take, like once you get even funded, say for infographics, right? And it could be a $500 that, you know, without a website or something like that, or if it was just sort of a little bit more casual, or if the website already existed, but you had to pay, a high level graphic artist for it. Mm-hmm. That's a sub $1,000 proposal.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense to go through that whole process to do it
and then 6 weeks to get funded. And then. Uh-huh. Then you have to schedule your guy after that, or your person after that. And that's, you know, probably only that's less than a month or whatever to get that done, I'm sure. But before you know it, it's not that it's irrelevant, but there's parts of it that might even be changed or different or whatever, right? It's 3 or 4 months worth of time has passed, and all of a sudden something else has been released and things are different.
Exactly. So this is looking at the nimbleness of how we can expand the project and the experiment, and introduce a new governance model, which would be co-funding. And look, there's interesting experiments in that space. You could have like accelerated co-funding. So if I can raise $100, maybe it unlocks $1,000. There's explorations you can do in this space. At the moment, we're just going to explore one for one. There's also challenges, of course, that, you know, what's to say if I want to buy a sound card, well, why don't I just dump $200 worth of ADA and then unlock this free $200? So there's gamification in there that we need to consider at some point. But again, a $200 gamification of that, your risk in your own credibility, I guess, over the long run, like that seems to be the currency of the project. So yeah, sure, you could game it once or twice, but eventually you'll be known for what you're doing, and it's going to get harder and harder for you to be involved with the community. That's probably a solution to that. But also the percentage of $200 out of a, what, $2 million or $4 million fund is probably immaterial anyway. So, look, I've had discussions in this space. I don't know the answers, but we're going to run the experiment and see if the community agrees to have a look at it. That I also, beyond that, the Adafund.io? I think it's Adafund.io, not Adafund.org. So it's actually to explore other funding models as well. So in this fund, we're going to explore this co-funding model. But someone's already brought up sort of another idea. I haven't fully explored it yet. But it's kind of like exploring the concept of, let's have a quick look. It's escaped my mind right this second. Here it is. It's like a sub incubator type concept. So we could use this same website and same concept to keep exploring new ways of funding, not just, and then the ones that work, we go with it and create its own thing. And the ones that don't, we shelve and either explore later or remix or remaster or something. So it's kind of the space just to let the community explore different funding models. So,
kind of like a Project Skunkworks.
Yeah. Did someone point that out to me? Yeah. Maybe you can share that with me afterwards. But yeah, it's kind of like you'd have to explain that to me actually.
Well, Skunkworks is the code word for the experimental research arm of Lockheed Martin. Right.
Ah, right. Okay.
This is where that's all it is. When somebody's got a research arm, and that's kind of, you know, it's hard to do, say, research with a 12-week turnaround when it comes to Project Catalyst, and also the volume of Project Catalyst, which is also kind of, I don't know if anybody's actually charted it, but it sounds like it's kind of exponential in terms of interest, and therefore also the amount of groundwork that needs to go into it, just in terms of, say, each CA giving three or four proposals, or each proposal getting three or four reviews, but all of a sudden there's 500 proposals and 5,000 reviews, and then all the VCA's got to go through all 5,000 reviews and that sort of thing, and trying to make sense of it. So that's, and then that doubles, and then we find out that only 10% of the CA's are doing 50% of the work or more, right?
Sure. I've actually got another proposal in the space for that as well, because one of the major problems was that we were using spreadsheets to manage all the CA, VCA processes, as well as the feedback from the proposers into that system, like their right of reply to the CAs, which is all part of the, governance model to make sure that it has backwards and forwards, not just one way. So part of the proposal that I've put in that space, which is called CA VCA toolset, community toolset, is to create tools that can utilize the spreadsheets that have been generated to actually give an interface and see if we can make efficiencies in that process. So like you said, I'm in the bleeding edge of it, and I just look for gaps and then pull teams together to see if we can solve some of these early problems to prototype solutions that can then be utilized in the future to solidify into more solid ideas if they need to be, or they can just stay as these weird prototypes that work. I'm not sure.
So you have four different proposals in? Technically?
Oh, I think so. I think so, yeah. Is that, I mean, there's two from the last time.
You have a hard time keeping track.
You gotta buy some folders. In my brain. They're in my brain and in open tabs on my browser. So
you might want to buy an accordion folder, sir. Do they have accordion folders in Russia? Yeah, somebody's got to have an accordion folder.
I'm sure I've got one floating around somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of, I do encourage anyone that's actually listening to this that if they do want to do this, no one's given me this role. No one's asked me for permission. I don't ask for permission for these things. The way I see it is if I build useful things that get used, that's the authority I've got to do this. So, and anyone has this ability. So, I think that's the joy of the Project Catalyst, that if you see a need, think of an idea, can pull together a team, either yourself or find someone that can pull together a team, go for it. Just
or be a part of a team. A lot of people, of course. Always say, I'm interested in this. You know, there's an angle of Cardano to me that's a little bit like, it's by, developers and for developers, right? It's kind of a developer heavy ecosystem at the time because of what needs to be built and that sort of thing. But a lot of us just aren't developers and aren't going to be, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to learn Haskell to the degree that somebody should pay me a living equivalent to the one I make now, you know, and probably not Plutus either. Maybe someday I'll try to get familiar with the language so I can speak to people, in their language. But other than that, not likely. It's just not where my strengths are. So, a lot of people seem to come into the community with the question of how do I participate? How do I participate? And after talking to a few people now, it seems like the easiest, the path with the lowest barrier to entry is community advisor. Come in and put in some time going over proposals. Especially during that period of time where it's done formally with criteria and that sort of thing. Before they go to voting or before they go to feedback. And so people can get involved in the Discord and get that done there and start down that path, I think, is the easiest way. And then, like you say, if you have ideas, just come up with them. I've had ideas that weren't great, but I just wanted to see the process, and I kind of knew that at the time. Mm-hmm. But if you are truly about it and you really do have, like, you've got design background, you've got artist friends and probably designer friends and stuff like that, so an infographic series is natural to you, right? I'm sure you could have that fulfilled, that work scope fulfilled in
three weeks with the time frame for that one. Yeah.
And if you were under the gun, I'm sure you could get it done quicker, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's right in your wheelhouse. So if you've got something like that, and it makes sense that you've also got something going on where you can kind of take those little projects and, divert the bandwidth a little bit into, like you say, adafund.io. Just because, yeah, the overall river that is Project Catalyst, it's not like it's a waste to be looking at a bunch of little projects, but they might serve to detract from the bigger projects that are almost on the level of Cardano improvement.
I'd say it's more of a tribute into it, right? It's not a diversion. It's just a little stream that adds to it, and hopefully it inspires other people to come up with other tributaries as well that can just keep adding to the project, right? There's this main river that's flowing. Ones. But we can just take off what we need and build and create, and like it's just this beautiful, well thought out system that, you know, it's a mess, but it's a beautiful mess, and it allows you just to play and explore, at least someone who wants to. It's definitely available to do that. I guess for you, you're doing this podcast, you can, if you're successful and you need some funds to grow, you can have a proposal in there and work out how to do that, right? Like you're working with other people in the community that are also building onboarding podcasts and communicating rich media communication in that space. So it's all available. If you're someone reached out and said they're a, you know, accounts receivable person, I haven't quite seen how they're going to fit in, but I'm sure there's a space to fit in here, right? They can look into smart contracts and how accounts receivable can work in that space, for instance. I mean, I don't have the answer, but it's all available. Anyone who wants to join in and has a skill set, which everyone does, there's a place for you.
Everyone's got strengths, right? I was just thinking the other day, and I was talking to someone else, and just so you're aware, I have all my podcasts are planned to be uploaded as not suitable for work or whatever, so that people can just be themselves and don't have to be like super sanitized and highly edited productions or whatever. But like honestly, as a blue collar guy, one of my best strengths is just talking shit. And so how do you it sounds like a goofy joke, and it kind of is, but I'm really good at it. And so this is my strength. My strength is not figuring out lambda calculus equations so that I can tell whether or not my inputs and outputs of my Haskell program make logical sense. I don't even know what Turing complete is. Right. I know. So I know there's a guy named Alan Turing, and he was played by Doctor Strange in a movie, and that was a good movie. But, you know, that's the type of thing I could do, is just talk nonsense and have it make sense to somebody. And so I use that strength. Right. And, there's part of me that could probably also look over, proposals to a degree and determine whether or not something's making a business case. Right. Or if something, makes sense in the sense of, being a useful product. Right. So in an evaluation type sense, editing, you know, in my regular day job, I do a little bit of written editing for technical reports that, that the place that I work for have to write occasionally as a senior technician. Right. So, even something like that, it seems kind of removed from what's going on in Catalyst, but it isn't, because it's my effort that is valuable, not my specific categorizable label of my skill set. It's my presence, my effort, and my participation, and therefore yours as well, and somebody else's, and somebody else's, even though those guys might have. Like, I think someone who can cook well would be able to figure out how to participate in Catalyst, because they know how to read a recipe, and therefore they know how to write a recipe and could help you with your proposal, which is all scattered about, because if you wrote it like a recipe, you know what I mean? I'm just making something up, but that's
something. But there's no reason why you couldn't start a Cardano-based cooking show, you know, and work out how to – distribute recipes on a NFT or something. Who knows? Like, it's all open space. You can work out how to add value with whatever skill set you have and mix it with someone else's or whatever. Like, it's a big open wide space. I like to think of it like the green field where there's no existing trees, nothing shading anything. In many ways, it's like the early days of the internet, where everything's available, anything's open, everyone can carve out their piece. And I think part of the joy of the Cardano is that hopefully the system is being built so that no one can shade anyone else, so that everyone has room to grow as large as they want and need. And that there's no, like, say, a Google or an Amazon being built today that will overshadow everyone else, but they might become, you know, a vital piece of the puzzle, but they're also in it for the gain of everyone rather than the gain of just themselves, profit motive, etc. And I think that's what people are hooking into and feeling at this early stage. And we'll see where it goes. Hopefully that culture and feeling and joy can keep alive. And, I guess it's those participants. I watched George Orwell's last interview today, and he's basically said that if you want to avoid the traps of what he discussed in 1984, it's up to you. Like, just make it so that it doesn't happen. Each individual needs to be aware of it and take the actions to not let the Big Brother one world system happen. So, yeah, it was an interesting,
yeah, and
interesting talk.
That's kind of one of the angles overall of a Cardano citizen. The way I thought of it as I call it a brand, is the,
that's a nice
the
one.
Overall, yeah, and because we're all kind of citizens of the community, what does that mean to be a citizen? Is it just someone who delegates and gives away their responsibility, or is it actual participation, conversations about what do we want to build together, and actual participation? You know, honestly, in my regular, say, community, everyday life here in my neighborhood, I don't participate much, right?
Mm.
And that kind of thing is shrinking. And it is what it is, right? But it's hard for me to, I don't believe it's right to point the finger outside of myself and say, well, it's that person's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's the fault of these policies and stuff like that. And yet, if I'm not out there knocking on doors, other people are good at that. I had these upstairs, neighbors. They knew everybody. They knew everybody on my block. Right. Mm. They knew everybody on my block. I've been here for years and I don't reach out. I don't know them. You know what I mean? I don't know the name of my neighbors. They would talk to me and they'd say, oh yeah, Rhonda down the street. And I'm like, who? I'm like, the one in the blue and white house. Oh yeah. No, we talk to them all the time. Now, to be fair, I work 50 to 60 hours a week and that sort of thing. And, I don't think I'm unfriendly, but I'm not out there sitting on the porch and knocking on doors and waving at people either. I'm not retired or whatever. So it's not a huge thing, but, some people are just sort of have that a little bit different about them where they're willing to, they know intrinsically that they're part of their ecosystem and not so inwardly focused. As I get involved in Catalyst, I'm like, okay, so how can I be more outwardly focused? And where can I apply my strengths? And I think that everyone has that opportunity. That's one of the reasons that makes it so attractive to everyone. Aside from, I hope the price goes to this, or I hope the price goes to that, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of like
inspiration.
I guess I kind of like that about the community as well, that although we all want the price to go up and it's going to help us in the long run individually, but it's not anyone's major focus here. We're all out to add value. We're idealists, right? Like we see the potential for change for good, and our participation in that. And we're invited to participate. There's no permission needed to participate. And I think we can also avoid those pleasantries of the local neighborhood, you know, that maybe they're active, but they're not really achieving much other than the social interaction that they're getting. Whereas here we're kind of up for building something, making something, building something, working with people to achieve something.
Yeah, the sort of building of social capital is directed towards a project, directed towards an aim.
Hmm.
Within Catalyst, as opposed to just feelings of community, which are fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to change it. It's changing directions a tiny bit here, but I wanted to ask you because there is one part of the process, the overall process, that I'm not quite sure how it works, literally within the proposal process. So you start with a proposal,
uh-huh.
or obviously your problem statements and your brainstorming and all that. Once a proposal goes and it gets feedback from the proposers, then there's a window where you can make changes, I believe. Is that true? Or sorry, yeah. Feedback from the CAs.
The process is that there's a week for entering that you are going to have a proposal, and you put as much detail as you can in at that point. That then closes. There is no more proposals allowed to be entered into that fund after that. Then there's a week of active feedback where it's encouraged to go and seek feedback. And there's various channels for that, including the Discord or forums and direct questions on Telegram or whatever method that you choose. It's still open to fully edit your proposal at that point. There's comments on ideas scale as well that, people can address you directly on there, and you can interact on that space and adjust your proposal, adjust your budget, adjust everything. And then after that, there's like a week, of quiet reflection. I mean, you can definitely go out and explore and find more feedback. And, I know people definitely do that. But it's definitely a time for you to make edits and finalize your process, finalize your team. So that's a 3-week process in total. And then it closes off to edits. And then it enters the review stage.
So at review stage, it gets reviewed. After review, you can't really edit it anymore.
No. At that point,
it's closed.
It's closed for editing. Yeah. So there is discussion around that space. This is the process that it is currently. It's not obviously, set necessarily. This in a year's time or in 6 weeks' time or next fund, whatever it is, things can change rapidly. But this is the way it is currently. So after that, the review stage happens. The CAs come in and actually engage with your proposal as it's presented, and give a review score in 3 categories. That give a 1 out of 1 to 5 star rating for those. Then there's a period of feedback where proposers can come and review those reviews and flag any issues that they're having with unfair or rude or whatever issues they might have with the reviews that they got. And then there's a veteran community advisor stage where they go into the system and look at people's reviews, either based on the flags that the proposals have done and or their own process that they've come up with, either in a group or individually. And at the end of that, there is a score assigned that will appear in the governance voting app at the moment. Does that make sense?
I believe so. I didn't vote in the last round because I didn't have $3,000 worth of ADA. But so I haven't seen that part myself. But I guess so there's a – I get a score. Let's say I have a weak proposal. I think my proposal was pretty weak and I wasn't able to withdraw it. So I never bothered looking it up. I'm not sure where it is. I'm curious now. But let's say you got a 2 out of 5.
Yep.
Right. And that's fair. And I don't dispute anything. And then it goes to the VCAs and they just, is there a different score after that? Or can they adjust that score if something was weird or disputable?
There's a process that was developed in the last fund called the red and yellow card system where if you
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I wasn't a VCA, so I only know it from what I've seen. I would never participated in that process as of yet. But basically, they assign as a proposer, I can flag something. So if someone's just swearing at me, that's an automatic disqualification. If someone didn't bother to write any rationale of why they gave a score, that's an automatic disqualification. And then the rest is sort of like this yellow card system like in soccer or football, depending on where you come from, where if there's a there's a list of sort of general infractions and other sort of like unfair type score flags that you could flag up, and then if they're upheld by the VCA review, then that score would be negated, which would change the overall score. So let's say you had two twos and a three. One of those twos got negated. Obviously, your score rating would be pushed a little bit closer to the average of three rather than the average of two. If that makes sense.
Okay. It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that was something I wasn't sure how that process worked, or because I wasn't sure also if there was feedback, say after, or not feedback, but the ability to edit after the VCA intervention.
I think the idea with that is that once you've done all this process, just to keep the process rolling, if it just keeps going back into an editing stage, it's never going to get to voting, right? So there's these close-off times that happen. But the idea is that you're only 6 weeks away from the next funding opportunity. So you take your learning, you take your feedback, and if you choose to proceed, you might want to remix your team, or you want to change your idea, or you find another group that was similar idea and you push those together and create a co-proposal. So the idea is that you take the feedback, you learn, you also now more deeply involved with the community, so you know the avenues of how to find information, how to ask for help, and that sort of stuff. So your next proposal will, in theory, be better. Or you might choose not to be a proposer and go be a CA to actually learn the process better this time, and then you come back and do it again. So it's like this nice little loops that happen until you're shot off into funding, if you choose to keep following that route. Just on the voting, it's actually been dropped to 500 ADA. That was announced earlier this week. So the voting threshold was
lower. I'll have to register on the Wednesday. Or I got it written down as on the 13th, I think, here. So I'll have to make sure I register.
Most things revolve around the town halls, from what I've noticed, which is usually the Wednesdays. So I'm pretty sure it's the Wednesday 14th, but
People can look it up, and besides, who knows? By the time this goes up, it might not go up until – what is it today? Oh, yeah, no, the 2 days, I'm probably not going to put this up until
right.
Well, maybe I should get it up this week if I can. I'm trying to create a bank of episodes, but then sometimes people have proposals, and I should get those up.
I've got someone at the door.
Why don't we pause for a sec?
Okay, sure.
And I'll edit this later.
Okay, I'll be back in a second. 1 second.
I'll figure out how much of this to edit out and how much of this conversation to leave in. I like the fact that it's real life.
Sure, it's the joys of the home studio, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all live in it now. This is the age of coronavirus. We all work from home, and now I know you have a dog named George.
Oswald.
Oh, I thought you said George. George is the door or something like that. Oswald. Okay. Well, I was just barely hearing in the background.
He's a rescue dog. He's been with us for a couple of months now. But
that's a good security system.
Lovely little fella, yeah.
And from the outside looking in, living in Russia, yeah, I would want a security system. That place intimidates me. It's in the news and stuff like that.
I think a lot of that is hangovers from yesteryear, to be honest. It's a generally safe place, I think.
Russia is a little bit crazy. I've seen it on YouTube.
there is
Russian YouTube. They got
more,
is a crazy place.
More cameras. They just have more cameras. They like to film stuff. You can see. Well, actually, no. You're right. The crashes that happen on a Russian video camera, on a dash cam, rather than the near misses that happen in Australia, maybe. But yeah, it you know, everything's fairly calm here. Not too much. Don't believe the media.
No, of course. If you watch too much media, they expect military in the streets and guns pointing at everyone and lions roaming around.
Yes,
exactly. That's unfortunate with the interruption there, although hilarious. I kind of don't remember what we were talking about. The end of the process. The ends of the process. You know what I wanted to ask you about was, as we sort of round about an hour of time, one of the last questions I was thinking of was, about how people make money in the process. Cause it is incentivized. Obviously voting is incentivized. And that's advertised, but there's funding for participation as a CA, and there's also funding for participation as a VCA, I believe, which is separate. I don't know.
Yes.
I believe it's a separate fund. So that if there was 20 grand for CAs, there's also however many grand for VCAs.
I think that 20 grand-ish, whatever, I mean, it doubles every time it doubles. It's a proportion of the funds that are available. So I think the VCA is a portion of the CA. So originally there was like this. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't around when the VCA was created, I think. I don't know if it was created in Fund 2, but there was a need for reviewing the reviews, I think, because there was, you know, it was open to people just attacking proposals sort of thing, I guess. I'm not really sure the process of how that came to be.
Can someone, as far as you're aware, can someone participate as a CA during that? I like to call it an EPIC, even though that has actual
protocol. Fund. It's a fund. We run on funds during that week, the Project Catalyst.
Yeah. So, but during that week where it is time for the CAs to do their reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then can you, and then there's a 1 week period in between, I believe. And then can you go through and participate as a VCA as well, or do you have to be one or the other?
No, conflicts of interest. It's open to both. It's open to both. To be a VCA, you had to be eligible to receive a reward during the CA phase of one of the previous funds. That's why it's called a veteran CA.
As long as you tick all those boxes, you could do both.
Yes.
In one fund. So theoretically, what does a person make to participate either as a CA or a VCA? Because it's kind of done on a piecework.
I don't have piecework an type answer of thing. For you at all in that space. It's definitely at the moment not a lucrative profession, but that doesn't mean it won't become that way. There's a lot of talk of people saying we need more of these roles, and I totally agree. But at the same time, there's a market mechanism that says if CAs or VCAs stay the same and the funding doubles, then that pool available to those people doubles as well. So if let's say, for instance, it stayed the same over the next two or three funds, it will probably more become a possible profession, let's say, or at least a part-time role. I don't know the exact numbers, but for instance, I think in the last town hall, they mentioned that there was only one referrer that got all the funds, which was about $5,000. So,
oh, wow.
I think going forwards, there's definitely going to be an ability to hopefully use it at least as a supplementary income. Whether it will probably not become a full income because of its 6 week nature. But we're discussing how to, how to incentivize early commenting outside of that review. I mean, not a lot of discussion. It's been discussed that it needs to be discussed rather than any hard work being done in it. But it's definitely an option to look into how we can encourage and gamify and it might not be monetary all the way either. You know, as things develop, we can have recognition systems as well that can help reward rather than just monetize recognition, if that makes sense. But I wouldn't know how much you're getting at this point. I haven't seen the rewards come through. They get paid at the same time as the proposers get paid, so that's all one big output from the Project Catalyst treasury. Goes to both the proposers and the VCAs and CAs all at the same time, and the voters as well.
At this time, none of the Fund 3 things have been distributed, so no one really knows just yet.
Yeah, there's definitely something happening in that space. We don't know why it hasn't been distributed yet, but they'll get distributed when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine that the systems are needing a lot of development and work, and I think smart contracts will help with some of that as well in the future that will remove the human element from some of these things, that once a voting round happens, once it's all confirmed, then the smart contract will kick in and make the payments out, I guess. But that's all future things. At the moment, we're still very manual, the whole process of Project Catalyst. I mean, it's only Fund 5. This is very, very, very early in the space.
Imagine Fund 25 with who knows, exactly. $25 million and something like that.
I think it's capping out at 15 at some point, although that could change. We're working up to 15 from my understanding. This is just from what I've heard around the places. In a town hall, maybe, or Charles talking about it or something. But the idea is
either way, every 6 weeks, 15 million.
Yeah, exactly.
It's eye-popping. 2 million a week. Yeah.
It's eye-popping. So to think what we can achieve.
That was kind of the end of my specific questions. Maybe when we're all done here, if you can send me any sort of links that you have to your different proposals and stuff, it's a day for me to start gathering show notes together and do some work towards publishing and editing the audio I have. So
sure.
Anything you can think of that you want to discuss on a sort of closing note or to encourage people to join in the process? We did obviously address that for a few minutes there.
Yeah, I'd just reiterate that again, that if you're listening to this and you're out there, the space is available for you. Come in, make yourself known. Put your hand up and find what interests you. Go ahead. It's a very embracing community. We look forward to
so far
seeing
that's
you around.
That's mostly done on Discord and Telegram. It might change in the future a little bit, but probably not that much.
I think there's forums and things as well.
The Cardano
there's all sorts
Foundation
of space.
Has a forum.
And I think. I think part of it is that there will just be circles of activity that no one will know about. Like, they won't necessarily know about each other, all working on similar things. And then you might bump into each other. And maybe in the future, we'll have real life meetups and you might bump into someone that is running a similar thing to you on a different platform. And you go, wow, okay, maybe we can connect them together and accelerate this concept, or who knows? It's just a great space to be in.
Yeah.
I'm certainly thankful for being here.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect too, being thankful to be there. It's a good opportunity to even sort of – because you have a place where you can participate. You know, we're all in this sort of post-coronavirus world and right from the beginning, everyone's kind of felt so helpless. You know, there's not much you can do. All these rules are being imposed. There's all the unrest around that from one side of the political spectrum to the other side of the political spectrum. Everyone agrees on the sort of stress of it all. and the difficulty in imposing what you feel is important in that space, and it ends up just being sort of spammed on social media in a sort of disgruntled manner, or alternatively, come donate your strengths, participate with your strengths in something such as Project Catalyst, right, within the crypto space, and you know, do a small thing, maybe, but it's still a thing, right, where you have a voice and you can do something.
Yeah, I guess, do you want to be part of the problem or part of the solution is probably the good question there.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly, right? All right, sir. I can't think of anything else. I'm glad to have you on, and hopefully you get some funding. I like some of these ideas. I'll have to research them further for when I do my own voting and stuff like that. But
yeah, keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, certainly, and I'll have them in the show notes for people, obviously, and they can even go back and review them afterwards if you're looking at this.
Check out the process, yeah.
Sometime in the future. People can get a hold of you, I know, on the Discord and stuff like that. Do you have any other specific ways for people to really reach out to you, or any other platforms that you are kind of your main thing?
Teleolog.art is a good place to come and donate to the experiment or contribute to the experiment. Other than that, reach out to me on Discord. I'm on Telegram, not so active, because I find it a bit hard to manage all the communication there, but I am around there. So, but I'll be around, and reach out. I'm happy to talk to anyone about anything. So go for it.
Okay. I'll have those in the notes as well. Yeah. We didn't even talk too much about proposer mentorship. So, but who knows? Me and you will run into each other, in the future, obviously on Discord or whatever. And, I'll always be looking for more content. So when you have your next
reach out if you need me,
I'll have you on then. When you buy an accordion folder, let me know, and then we'll talk about your new accordion folder organization system.
Sure.
That you use to keep track of all your activity rather than just in your
Interesting about that. Someone was showing me their schedule, and I said, "Oh, look, I'm partly doing this experiment on myself where I'm not going to have a schedule." And I think you've come up against that trying to organize this podcast with me, but I'm kind of just seeing if I can run without a schedule and let my brain just focus in on anything that it remembers and run my life in that way. At least for a little while to see if it works. So far, it's been quite interesting. So I'm sure there's stuff that gets left behind, but then that's the stuff that's not really that interesting to me. So.
It makes me laugh because I'm like, I don't know. I'm not super, I don't know, like linear, like some kind of banker or something like that. That just needs every 15 minutes managed. But it just kind of sounds, part of me is kind of like, okay, good luck with that. I don't know how you're going to pay. All your bills are due on a certain day. And, I don't know. I still think you need an accordion folder or whatever, but okay.
I've got a great wife.
Oh, yeah. You just outsource it to the whole thing. I'm living life in a certain way. honey, where's all my stuff?
Something like that.
A good management system. I hired a manager. I married my manager.
That's right.
All right, sir. We'll look to have you on again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, certainly. Bye.